Hello. This is Jim.
This is Ellie.
And this is Hallmark's The Spot, your favorite Hallmark movie podcast ever.
I thought you were doing a very low energy thing.
No.
I think you're just being understated.
Or your favorite podcast, period.
Period.
Put a button on it.
Yep. All right.
What are we doing today?
We are going to talk about Summer Villa because that is the encore presentation that they chose to give us on Saturday night, they being the Hallmark Channel.
Correct.
And we are also going to review a classic movie that's one of our favorites, Ice Sculpture Christmas.
Yes, Ice Sculpture Christmas. Yes, is a frequently watched in the Hallmark The Spot household.
That's right.
But then again, Somerville is watched a pretty good amount of times, too.
We watch it whenever it's on.
So, yeah. So,
we also spoiler have it on alert. DVR.
Yeah. Spoiler alert is probably going to get a good mark at the end.
Probably. Probably. It is one of our more favorite non-Christmas movies.
And I'm going to talk about this article I just read in Forbes magazine.
Forbes,
yes. About the Autumn Harvest movies.
Oh,
and
yay.
When they start.
That's good. Good to know.
So you want to do that first? You want to do that after the movie, in between the movies?
Let's do it in between the movies.
Okay. Then we'll talk about Summer Villa.
Summer Villa, yay! Hillary Burton. And some guy.
And Webster.
Webster.
David Webster. Victor.
Victor.
Victor Webster. Victor Webster, star of many Canadian television cop shows that I've seen. That you see in syndication every once in a while.
I haven't seen those.
Yeah.
But we've seen Hillary Burton in White Collar.
Yes.
And also in Naughty or Nice.
She was the flame of Matt Bomer.
Yes.
On White Collar.
White Collar.
How would you describe her character?
I was just going to say she has a lot of side hustles of her own.
Yeah.
So she's not exactly trustworthy.
Right. She's a bit shady.
Yeah. Yeah. But she's always looking out for herself, I guess.
Right.
Anyway.
So.
I like her.
Yeah. She was also in the other Hallmark. She was in another Hallmark movie.
I said Naughty or Nice.
Naughty or Nice. Yes. Where she played Chrissy Kringle.
That's right.
And had a book, a naughty list book.
That's right.
Is it naughty and nice? Or
is
it just
naughty?
It's
naughty and nice. Oh. But she only looks up the naughty side until later on she realizes if she turns it around, there's a nice list. So she was like breaking up with her boyfriend and throwing all kinds of shade on people because of the naughty list.
Yeah.
And then realized, oh, wait, there's two sides to every story.
It's a good lesson.
It is.
It's good.
Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater.
So tell me about Somerville. What is the plot?
The plot is Carrie Russell is a Danielle Steele type successful romance novelist.
Right.
Who hasn't had a hit in a while.
Uh-huh.
And she is living at home with her teenager and missing her writing deadlines. So she goes to see, well, I guess her book editor sets her up on a blind date with her brother, who happens to be this guy, Chef Cupid. I can't remember his real name.
Victor Webster.
No, I meant his real character.
Oh, Matthew Everston.
Yeah, that's right. Matthew Everston. Excuse me. And so she meets him.
So he's got a hip, trendy restaurant.
Yeah, and she meets him, but he mistakes the woman next to her for her. And they do not hit it off. And he's like, so, like, talking up the ladies or whatever, not paying attention. He didn't realize that Dominic Barone, a very influential food critic, had come there to eat. And he said, I should have been the one to cook for him. And sure enough, Dominic Barone was not impressed with the coq au vin, which was Matthew Everston's signature dish. So Carrie Russell is in a lurch. She's like in a slump, and her book editor friend says, "Here's the key to my summer villa, my French villa that I share with my family."
Right.
And Carrie Russell. There's a Carrie Russell, right?
Yes.
Isn't that Felicity?
There's an actress, yeah. Carrie Russell, yeah. Yes.
Anyway, so she shows up in France with her teenage daughter in tow, and Matthew Everston is there licking his wounds from this bad
review.
And hijinks ensue.
Okay, that was a very long point. Okay, this is the difference between you and me.
You have to set the stage.
No. This is the difference
Hold on, I gotta drink this without like choking. Hold on.
Ask me what this movie was about.
What's this movie
about? What's the basic plot of this movie?
Two people meet in France.
Ask me. What is the basic plot of the movie?
No, but I was going to do what I think you thought it was.
No.
Okay, what's the basic plot of the movie, Jim?
A successful romance novelist with writer's block goes out on a blind date with her book editor's brother. The date doesn't go well. And then her book editor gives her the keys to their summer villa in
France.
Little did she know upon going that the chef also decided to go to the summer villa. That's the basic plot.
I had the people know more from my description.
Yes. We're gonna talk in depth about the movie. So,
well, then don't so have me.
Even my synopsis was long. I would never make it on this Hallmark website because you know what their synopsis is.
Well, hold on, let me guess. a woman with writing block and a washed up chef,
yeah,
end up meeting in a summer villa.
It's a little longer than that, but that's the gist. It says, a romance novelist with writer's block and a celebrity chef suffering from a bad review accidentally end up staying at the same French villa for the summer. Oh, that's a terrible synopsis.
It is terrible. It doesn't even mention the daughter.
But the picture shows the buddy chef and the daughter.
The buddy chef? Oh, you mean Jean-Luc or whatever?
No, the buddy.
Who's the buddy?
Jacques or whatever his name is.
You mean the one who's trying to pick her up?
No.
Well, that's the guy, Jean-Luc or Jacques.
No. The friend chef, the buddy, the old guy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
That's who I'm talking about. Jean-Luc's the rival.
Oh, no. I meant the guy who owns Evangeline's. Okay. This is making zero sense.
Yeah.
So let's get this back on track, mister.
Okay, it's not we're making zero sense. This is gold, baby. So.
I just can't believe they don't even mention how they start, you know. It's more than just the two people. He likes Abby, too. What? You know? He comes to care for the daughter,
right,
after their rough start as well.
Right.
With her bad kitchen hygiene. I mean, really terrible. And I'm not even a chef. Like eggs sliding off the counter. Whoever placed that one is a genius.
Okay.
Okay. So, hijinks? What do you want to talk about?
No, the blind date.
Yes.
Here's my problem with that whole scene. His business manager is there.
Yes.
And she's supposed to be, we're making him super successful, right?
Right.
The food critic is there. When he finds out the food critic was there, and he goes to her and said, "Why didn't you tell me he was here?"
Right.
And she blows that off as if not being important.
Right.
And, you know, I'm saying if she's his business manager.
Business managers are all over that.
That would be really important.
Yeah. No, business managers are all over that.
She's a terrible business manager.
Yeah. She doesn't seem like it later, but I think she got complacent. He got complacent. Maybe they just did it to show how complacent he is.
Yeah, because that was that dude's problem with his cooking.
Right.
Was
Dominic Barone.
Same old, same old.
Same old, same old.
You used to be something, kid.
Yeah, you had it.
Yeah.
And you lost
now it. Now you were a shadow.
Of your former self.
Hang your head in shame.
So, yeah. So he even confronts him out on the pavement, which is like bad. But also she thought, so Terry Russell thought that he was coming out to apologize
right.
for his bad behavior. But really he was running after the critic. So he just majorly struck out. Right. So then he calls his sister the next day to talk about his bad review. And all she wants to talk about is the failed date with her romance writer.
But she's right in the room.
That's just so
on
bad.
The phone.
And that's when she has her famous line.
Yeah.
He said, oh, can you not set me up with any more of your uptight friends or something?
Yeah.
She goes, me? I'm not uptight. I'm a good time girl.
Yeah.
Who says that? How about uptight friends who think they're fun yeah. say that? Yeah.
That was funny line.
That
I like
was.
That.
That was. But it's kind of rude that her friend put her on
speakerphone
mm-hmm. and didn't tell her brother and then is completely self-involved and then cuts him off. So she never finds out about his bad review until he's like all in France.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't understand these people who just don't listen. So
bad blind date.
Yes.
Bad business manager.
Yes.
Bad book editor.
That's right. That's right. So, bad sister. Bad. Good book editor because she gave her keys to yeah. the family's villa in yeah. France. But she was not scheming to get her.
No, you just said she put her on speakerphone and all of that. That
right,
was
right.
wrong. That's why I'm saying.
Yeah, that. But I meant in that scenario, I think of her more as a sister than a book editor.
Oh, I think of her more as a book editor than a sister. See, tomato, tomato.
Speaking of tomatoes, yeah. France.
So they go off to the French Riviera, not the Riviera.
It's not the Riviera.
It's somewhere in France.
It's on some lake or something, and yeah. it's springtime, if I can judge by the leafing out. Yeah, the leafing out in the floral... You know, the flowering trees in front of the
okay, I
villa.
Gotta bring up something about Ellie that some of you may know, some of you may not know. Ellie cannot enjoy a movie until she knows exactly where it's located.
I don't know where this was filmed.
I know, but you don't know if it was in the U.S. somewhere, you would want to know.
Yeah, I'm sure it was Quebec. Even if it's the fake footage. I want to know where the fake footage is from.
Yeah, the fake footage. You know, oh, that's...
Cincinnati.
Oh, that's the left side of Baltimore.
That's right. That's right. That's the Inner Harbor.
And God forbid it be anywhere where Ellie has lived.
That's true.
So they're in the villa. Her and her daughter. Her daughter is obsessed with her phone and her best friend. They go up to the room and she looks outside and sees Victor, what the hell, Matthew?
Matthew Everston.
Swimming in the swimming pool. And she goes like, who the heck is that? And then goes out there.
Yep.
And they see each other and zoinks. You.
Your sister gave me the key. Well, it's my villa, too. They call the sister immediately, and the sister puts him on speakerphone again.
In the middle of a meeting.
In the middle of a meeting. And says, you guys work it out.
Yeah.
And then was like, what is everybody looking at or whatever? It's like, she's terrible. like, what an egomaniac. People don't
care
about.
She's terrible for picking up that phone in the meeting.
Yes. That's what I'm saying. Egomaniac. It's all about her. So anyway, so they make some ground rules. She writes in the morning, blah, blah, blah. He can't talk till 2. He says, you can't use my kitchen. Or if you use it, it has to be sparkling clean. She's out, of course. And like first day is disaster.
Yeah.
And the kitchen, like I said, the like eggs sliding off the counter or whatever. Disgusting.
Right. The daughter is cooking and leaving a very large mess. So he puts his foot down.
And Terry Russell makes Pop-Tarts. Yeah. And nobody knows how to use one of those fancy European espresso makers, which, like, hello. I used one when I went to Spain. I didn't know what it was, and I managed to use it the first time and not blow it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, she just filled it too full. She said, like, the water's coming out of the thing, out of the, yeah. She filled it too full. Anyway, so he's like, I'll make the coffee and whatever. It doesn't really work out, but he, like, sees Terry going to take a bike to go into town, and she doesn't know how to ride a bike. And she just leaves the bike in the driveway and walks 3 kilometers or whatever it is to town. And then when she's in town, getting ketchup on her omelet, is that the one?
Yes.
She runs into Jean-Luc or whatever.
She notices Jean-Luc looking at her.
Yeah. Oh, and he's like, are you Terry Russell?
With his, like, you are my sexy favorite accent. You are my favorite author. Oui, oui.
Yeah. He, are you sure you're not French? And the waiter goes, I'm sure.
Yeah, when he hands her the ketchup. When he hands her the ketchup.
That was awesome. That was the best waiter line ever, maybe. Definitely the best one in this movie. So then Matthew Everston shows up and there's sparks.
What?
There's, like,
what?
You were looking over my shoulder.
I was just looking at it.
Yes.
But
so
had no meaning for...
So Matthew Everston shows up and there are sparks. And I don't mean with him and Terry. I mean with him and Jean-Luc. They hate each other.
Yeah.
They have a chef thing.
Yes. He's the fancy New York chef. And Jean-Luc has
the hip French restaurant.
The hip French restaurant. And he is the winner of the Taste of France 4 times running.
Flavor of France.
Flavor of France 4 times running.
Yeah. It will be 5. Well, we'll see about that or whatever. Yeah. Yeah. So he asks her out on a date then. And is that when Matthew, like, cozies up to the butcher?
Yes.
So he cozies up to the butcher, invites her over at 7 o'clock. She gives him sweetbreads.
The sexy French butcher.
The sexy French butcher. She is. She wears a lot of hats in this film.
Yeah.
So he makes something and they taste it or whatever, but the sexy French butcher comes over at 7 as planned. And she goes up to her room, Terry, that is, and so does the kid.
Right.
And she, like, he's down there whining and dining. It's a butcher chef thing or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's whining and dining her at the pool and she goes nuts. She sneaks down there, gets caught on some topiary and falls into the pool.
Right.
And the butcher's like, this is too crazy. I'm out.
Yeah.
as if there's, like, too much drama for, like, a young, sexy French butcher. I don't know. I call shenanigans on that.
Yeah, so, it really wasn't that much drama.
Yeah.
It was just someone falling into a pool.
Yeah, except that was kind of weird. She said she was sleepwalking.
Yeah, all she had to do was say, I was taking a little stroll. And
that's right.
I tripped. That's right.
Yeah. That's all she had to say.
Yeah. Well, people. You know,
got to get rid of the sexy French butcher somehow.
Yeah. So and sexy French butcher storms off and he goes, boo, 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 no. And so another night ruined.
By Terry Russell.
By Terry Russell.
So then the next day they kind of declare a truce. Oh, well, the next day he's, like, at the pool.
Right.
And the daughter makes him that sandwich with goat cheese, pine nuts, shrimp, and something else.
And
parsley, or
no, they were pepper. I think it was peppers
or something,
or sun-dried tomatoes, something like
that.
Yeah,
and he's like, the presentation is hurting my eyes, and she's like, close your eyes, then.
And he tastes it, and he
this is pretty good.
You just threw this together?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So they're trying to develop the whole thing that, like, she likes to cook, and she has an adventurous palate. And eventually, he teaches Terry Russell how to ride the bike, and they go into town together. And he offers to teach the daughter Abby how to cook. And so she kind of becomes this little sous chef, and they're forming this, like, little family unit.
Right.
And then he takes her to dinner, right?
Yeah, they go to Evangeline's.
Where Jacques or whatever.
Jacques, his friend, the butcher, and the restaurant
That was the chef. Thing I finally, that was the thing I what? Noticed this time that I had never noticed before. When they pull up at the villa,
right?
Jacques is leaving. But you don't know who Jacques is, so you kind of just assume
Jacques
that...
Jacques is leaving?
Yeah, he's leaving. So they pull up with the taxi and their bags, and he comes out of the door. Oh, I'm that's Jacques. Right, that's I'm right. a friend.
You mean in the beginning of the movie?
In the beginning of the movie, when they first arrived in France.
I thought when they went to Evangeline's,
No. No, but I'm saying... Yeah. I was always... So they get to Evangeline's, and he introduces Jacques to Terry. And she goes, oh, we met...
Right.
But, like, why did she not know that Matthew or somebody was in the house? She just assumed that guy was there as, like, a caretaker or something?
Maybe.
Which is what I always assumed until I realized, like, oh, that's how they met. Because, like, I never really put two and two together until this time. You know, it takes, like, 5 or 6 times watching this to really get all these details.
It's deep.
It is. It's all layered. It's all interconnected. It's amazing.
So
they go to Evangeline's.
And Matthew sees some customers complaining about delays in their food and drink.
Yep.
So he goes, I must investigate this. And goes down to the kitchen. And it turns out Jacques by himself. That's he right. said... one of the chefs didn't come in, and the other one was
sick.
So he was working all alone. So Matthew grabs an apron and says, okay, that's let's get cooking.
I was going to say Matthew scrubs in, but he doesn't. He doesn't wash his hands, and he just starts using
food. That's right. He threw an apron on, but never washed his hands.
That bothers me too.
Poor
sanitation.
Sanitation in the thing he accused them of.
That's right. Abby needs to learn better hygiene.
Yes.
And he doesn't even wash his hands when he starts touching plates.
So the old adage, you point one finger at me, three more are pointing back at you.
That's right. So he helps out a bit and comes out with a couple of entrees and then looks at his table and Terry's gone. And then there she is, like, pouring wine for people. So she's pitching in. It's very quaint.
Okay. And then I'm going to have to correct something here. Mm-hmm. We are in France. So. What he brought out were not entrees.
Oh, sorry. What were they?
They were main courses.
Okay.
Entrees or appetizers in Europe.
Okay. All right. So, you're right. So,
Wow, you're upset because I
corrected? No, because I can't think of the name that they use for the entree, the main dish.
The main dish.
What they would call it in French. I can't remember. 6 years of French, don't remember a thing.
Yeah, but I know entree is appetizer.
Right, because it's entree, the entrance.
Right, exactly. Yes. And I've been to France.
But they call them plats or something, plats, the plates.
Plates.
Yeah, okay. So premier plate, the first plate, like if you're going to have multiple courses, I think that's what it is. But I don't know, maybe someone will send us an email and tell me I'm wrong.
Or maybe someday we'll go back to France.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Or even Canada.
Yes. Yeah, we'll go to Quebec.
Go to Quebec.
It's kind of like France.
Go to Montreal. It's French-Canadian. Yeah,
go to Montreal. I've been to Montreal. Quebec. It is quite
I've been to French. Quebec and Montreal.
Oh, wow.
And it's very French.
Well, there's Quebec, Montreal is in Quebec.
Yes. In the province.
Quebec City?
Yes.
You went to?
Yeah,
Okay.
Into Quebec City. It's a long time ago. I was in 10th grade.
Yeah.
We drove there because it was only 12 hours from where I grew up.
Wow.
Yeah. So, anyway, premier plot, whatever. He brings out the plates and she's there helping out.
Well,
and it's a
he
cute
looks
little...
at their table, sees she's gone.
Yeah.
And then he's a little like worried. Oh, no.
That's right. So, but she's there helping out and she gives him like a cute little wave. It's a really sweet moment, you know? And so then they show them coming home giggling or whatever. and they almost kissed. It was kisses right. interruptus. And then the daughter comes down.
Oh, yeah.
Savannah's saying mean things about me on social media or whatever she says.
Yeah.
And so, and so they were like, look, she's not your best friend if she's running you down.
Which a kid never would say something like that.
Oh, well, it's a little formal. It went through the old person translator.
Yeah, she's saying bad things about me on Twitter, Instagram or something, she would say. Not on social media.
She put a picture of me in hashtag country girl. Yeah, she was upset. So, I'm all country because I'm in France. It's like, that's so ridiculous. Like, you have I'm not saying it's ridiculously written because it's probably very true that she'd be upset, right? Of course, she's going to lash out at her mom and I don't want to be here. You took me to this crappy French villa. It's a once in a lifetime experience. She's never going to get again. And she says to her great things, that the two of them say, don't believe things that you read. I mean, obviously a book, a romance writer and this chef, they've had bad reviews. They've had good reviews, right? Don't hold too much, put too much store in these things, right?
Right.
And so I thought it was really good. And so they were working together as kind of like parental units to make her feel better. And so that went pretty well, right?
Right.
Because then the next day she's writing. Because writer's block is lifting, and she's writing about how she realizes that she's actually just writing their story.
Yeah.
And that how they've become like a unit. And then he comes over and he's like, oh, hey, that's when he asked her if they wanted to go to dinner. And she said, I would love to. And they went on some little romantic, they show her blowing off Jean-Luc. He says, you want to go wine tasting? She's like, no, I'm writing all day. And then Matthew comes over and is like,
over that she went on a date with Jean-Luc.
The picnic.
They went on a picnic.
The octopus salad.
Yeah.
Octopuses are very smart. Don't eat them.
Yes. and there's no way that tasted good.
She was eating it with her hands. She was digging it. Yeah, no, I think I got a little messed up because that thing about where they were like working. She was like, whatever. Anyway, she's writing. The point is, she's writing. She's getting closer to Matthew. She's blowing off Jean-Luc. They go out to dinner at Evangeline's. That's really great. And then he decides he's going to do the Flavor of France
competition.
Yeah.
Something that he said he wasn't going to do when he first got there.
But he's trying to make the Coco Van.
Right. But first, Jean-Luc, when he comes over to ask her out again, she goes, oh, I'm busy helping Matthew with the Flavor of France competition. And he goes, he's going to be competing.
That's right.
And then gets all upset and he walks away and turns around and I'm going to win, you know. It's my favorite line.
That's right.
In that movie.
She said, the best man will win or whatever. Yeah. So she goes back to Evangeline's and helps a little bit. And Abby goes to Evangeline's and helps.
And Jacques is also teaching her. He was Matthew's mentor and taught him how to cook.
Yep. And so then Matthew says, I need a sous chef if I'm going to do this Flavor of France competition. And so Abby and Jacques are going to help him with the competition.
Right.
So he's preparing and all that. And then the day of the competition shows up. Oh, wait, no. So Terry finishes the book.
Right.
And Matthew and Abby are sitting on the couch and she comes down and she goes, oh, I really want to share this with you. And she says, right as she's about to show them, I want to share this with you, but I'm really nervous. And then the manager barges in.
Yeah.
It says, oh my God, I'm here.
I brought one of the judges in the Flavor of France competition is
Dominic Barone.
Yeah, the critic. And he goes, and he went, what the what?
What the what? Now I'm in trouble. Oh my God. So she, the day of the competition comes and they both make, I'm just going to cut to the chase. They yeah. both make, he and Jean-Luc both make coq au vin.
Right. But
one day they'd been cooking and Abby had made a raspberry sauce for something.
Right.
The swordfish, the pesci yes. sparta. She said, you know, I'm going to put this on it or whatever. It's not because he had overcooked it. And she goes, yeah. Don't worry, not yet. Let me put this on, as if that's going to change overcookedness, but yeah. whatever. And so he's there in the competition. He's like, that guy made coq au vin. I make coq au vin. Oh my God. And he says, I wasn't taking chances. Abby, make your raspberry sauce.
Yeah. And she goes,
the wrong flavor.
But you said the wrong flavor could ruin a dish. And he goes, oh, I trust you.
I don't think that's what she said. I think she said, what did she but say? The wrong flavor could knock us out of the competition.
Oh, okay, or something. Fine. I was paraphrasing.
So he's like, no, I wasn't taking, you know, do it. And so he puts the raspberry on the coq au vin, wins the Flavor of France competition. And, which, by the way, we didn't mention.
And that Barone complimented him and said, I haven't seen a chef take chances like that in a long time.
And guess who one of the other judges was? Sexy Butcher.
Oh, Sexy Butcher. That's right. Sexy Butcher. That made him even more nervous. He thought that's he right. had like an enemy
he
on
blew it. Yeah, he blew it with her.
two people he disappointed.
Yep. So when he wins the Flavor of France competition, everything turns around and he's Chef Cupid again. And he's going to go to L.A. and have a show where he's going to travel around the world and cook dishes for a different single woman every week, yeah. which sounds just awful.
I know. It's the most boring show I can think of. And I watched a lot of Food Network.
That's right. And we got over a little bit of the...
The air conditioning just come on?
No, the fridge.
Oh, okay.
There was a little bit of gamesmanship or whatever with the manager and Terry saying like, oh, well, you know, he's Chef Cupid. He's never going to change.
Yeah.
You know, so she gets all in her head and she realizes he's going to go off being Chef Cupid. She's going to be just going back to her life in New York with her, you know, teenage daughter.
Right.
And she calls up her
editor.
Now I'm trying to figure out, I think I may have messed up the timeline there a little bit with the, I finished my book and maybe it was when he got the Chef Cupid news.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Sorry. Sorry, everyone. It does like, it's really not important what sequence everything happens.
Yes. So I'm sure that everyone forgives you.
I hope that. So. Yeah. All 10 people. No. Just kidding. I forgive myself. That's what's important.
Yeah.
So he's going to go be Chef Cupid. And now, like, summer's over. She's going to go. She calls up the book editor friend and says, I fell in love with your brother.
Yeah.
And she goes, you know what? You're outside your comfort zone. This was really good for you. And then, you know, the daughter shows up and she's like, it's time for us to go.
Yeah.
And so she basically like packs up. You would think they're there for like 6 weeks or 8 weeks or whatever.
Yeah.
You'd think that they would have talked to Matthew about like, hey, this is when we're planning to go, or not just like I'm calling an audible.
No, this is a Hallmark movie. Hallmark movie. Once the love is thought to be unrequited, you got to make a beeline out of it.
You do not stay.
You don't stay a minute that's longer.
Right. Yeah. She is like, she put herself out there and boy, she is uncomfortable. She does not want to look like an idiot. She does not want to have him think that she fell in love with him. And here he is, Chef Cupid, and he's never going to change. The biggest Peter Pan case she's ever seen, you know? Yeah. So she's like, I'm leaving. And he's like, what? You're leaving? And she's like, oh, just sit on the bed with me, which is like a very unusual move.
Yes.
Right. So they both sit on the bed and she like, you could tell she's all emotional. And she's like, we had a great time. You're very special, blah, blah. See you later.
Yeah. I'm going to break up with you before you break up with me kind of
right.
thing.
That's right. And he's still confused. And then they split, but they're going to stop at Evangeline's.
Right.
Which is amazing, because then he wanders around like a moping puppy for a little while. Oh, that's where she used to write her book. And this is where Abby used to, like, put eggs on the counter, like, without shells. And then I'm going to go up to her bedroom, and hey, what's this? A novel. And right. I'm going to read that novel in the time that it takes them to eat a dinner at Evangeline's.
Well, what he picked up.
Oh, can't Let's be a face novel.
It was a pretty thin novel.
It was a novella. Yeah. That's for sure.
But it couldn't have been more than half an inch.
But all of her other books were sizable. So yeah. I'm thinking, you know, anyway. So he says, oh, this is it. I got to go. So he goes in to see the manager. And she's like, oh, your schedule's crazy, but I think we could do it. And then he's like, I'm not doing this.
No, I'm and not she's like, stupid anymore.
And she's like, okay, good luck.
Yeah.
Which, like, no manager ever, no ex-girlfriend manager ever what? Would be like, okay, yeah, all this money you're leaving on the table, that's
you're
okay.
You're going to screw this deal.
That's right. And I'm getting 5% or 10% of nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, oh, my God. So he hightails it to Evangeline's and catches them before they leave and tells her.
Yeah, I read your novel and I love you.
That's right. And then kisses her and then she says, I love you too.
Right.
And then Abby's like, oh, my God. So she goes to, like, hug them while Jacques goes and gets champagne, as you would. And then poor girl, even though they're in France and she's of legal drinking age or whatever, probably. She's got to stand there while they all drink champagne and hug. Oh, because Matthew's like, I know why now Jacques opened Evangeline's, spoiler alert, because love is everywhere in here, blah, blah, blah. I don't need to go back. I'm going to take over Evangeline's, you know, and so they're all basically going to stay. And I don't know, what is he going to have to buy his sister out of her share of the villa? Like, what's the deal?
Yeah, that's right.
You know, I'm like, how does that
work? Wait a minute. I don't think even the villa is theirs yet because the parents are still alive. The
parents, yeah. So are they just going to let him stay there? I guess, hey, it's got 9 rooms and 4 bathrooms. So plenty of people can stay there. Yeah. So I'm just saying they're all there. Maybe they're going to, you know, find their own little place closer to Evangeline.
So the end.
The end. It's awesome.
How they do live you happily this?
Ever after. 5.
5? Wow. 5.
I don't know why I like it so much.
Well, try. Why do you like it so much?
Well, I think they have good chemistry.
Right.
And even though it's, like, a little annoying, the, like, I'm going to break up with you before you break up with me thing.
Right.
That they both grow. They all grow that summer. Right. It's not just, oh, I found my pet. You know, Abby finds her passion. She wants to cook. She wants to be a chef.
Yep.
And the mom, though, learns how to, like, open up and be partners with someone in the single. She's been a single parent for a long time. She's got a great relationship with her daughter. And Matthew is no longer Chef Cupid. He wants something more. So I like that they all mature.
Yep.
Like, every single one of them matures. So they're better at the end than they were in the beginning. And it's got some funny lines. It's got the beautiful French countryside. It's got wine and sweetbreads and whatever else. You know, I don't know. There's just something about it. And it doesn't matter. This is one of those movies where, like, no matter where I start watching it, I can watch the whole thing.
Okay.
It's like, you know, and it, like I said, it kind of doesn't matter what order things happen in, because it's all just kind of like, it's flowing. In the middle, it's very, I don't know, it is progressing, but it's also very, like, situational. So right. I like that.
Right. It takes its time in the middle, but it doesn't seem like it's stretched out or boring.
That's right. It's just kind of like being in the French countryside when you're, like, learning to relax. It also relaxes.
So 5.
Well, wow. I don't know.
So no, hey.
Okay, it was my. That's what it was you said. Impulse. It was.
That's what it is.
It's my impulse.
You always go with your first.
Yeah, 5.
All right, I can't go 5.
I understand.
What would I give a 5?
Well, I mean,
Christmas to Remember,
right? You wouldn't give any non-Christmas movie a 5, if I know you.
Yeah, probably not. I'm trying to think of a non-Christmas movie that I liked that much. Well, Summer to Remember. Yeah. Okay. Well, that proved me wrong right there. So, but I'm gonna give this a 4.
That's good.
I enjoy watching it. I enjoy the chemistry between the two stars. Mm-hmm. It felt natural. He was kind of, you know, being a bit of a jerk early on, but not too much of a jerk.
He was just a little prickly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was and a little self-centered.
Well, yeah, he was there to lick his wounds, you know, like yeah. he wanted to wallow without an audience.
So,
yeah,
I liked it. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Okay, now we got 15 minutes to do this.
Then we'll do the article.
Okay. Forbes article, September 19th.
Du-du-du-du.
Okay, I pulled it up finally. September 19th, Autumn Harvest premieres on Hallmark.
Oh, Autumn Harvest is just the genre of films. Okay. Does it tell you the names of the films? I know one of them is October 3rd, that Jesse Schramm, Niall Mayer.
Let me see. They Maybe. Said there were only 3 Summer Nights movies.
Right.
And apparently the numbers were not really great.
Well, they were terrible movies.
Yeah.
We reviewed them. We yeah, have
but
proof. People,
but they were making more of a broader point that people were not gravitating toward Hallmark during the, you know, times they were on.
Okay.
Like they do during Christmas
right.
and stuff like that.
Right.
But they said Wedding Every Weekend made it the number one cable station that night.
But that was a good one.
Yeah. So
that I think I underscored, but that's okay.
Okay, got the titles. Love at Daisy Hills, premiering September 19th.
I haven't even seen that.
Love at Look Lodge on the 26th. Country at Heart. That's the
Jesse Schramm Niall
Jesse
Mader.
Schramm one, October 3rd. My Best Friend's Bouquet.
Which, what date is that?
October 10th.
10th, yeah, duh.
And Sweet Autumn, premiering October 17th.
Wow.
So, we got a...
We have quite
we
a
got
few
quite a
up.
Few movies we have to tackle.
Yeah.
In the coming months.
So then next weekend is just the Labor Day.
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be.
But they showed the Labor Day marathon.
Right.
And then they showed a movie, but they didn't make a deal about like when it was going to happen. And so maybe it was just like it's another encore or something.
Right.
That they're going to end with or.
Whatever new movies come out, we will do a review of.
Of course. And then maybe even if it's an encore, like Summer Villa.
Uh-huh. Right.
Yeah. So anyway, so you want to talk about Ice Sculpture Christmas?
Sure. We can cram that in.
I'll let you do the synopsis.
Ice Sculpture Christmas. Girl comes back from culinary school. Woman.
Yes.
Woman comes back from culinary school.
3 years of culinary school.
Yeah. Comes back home with her father who works as a manager at the country club. He gets her a job there as a dishwasher. And she also is very good at ice sculpting. So they... She enters an ice sculpture contest with...
Wow.
What?
You just went... That went off the rails so bad.
Okay, go ahead. You do it.
Go ahead.
Do it.
It starts out with her being a little girl, and she meets a little boy, and she is already ice sculpting at that age.
Right.
They have a little interaction. Fast forward 20 years or whatever... Exactly what Jim said. She comes home. She has a job as a dishwasher. She's excited because the kitchen is run by an honest-to-goodness top chef, Chef Gloria. She shows up for work, and is drafted into doing an ice sculpting demonstration for the ladies at the club.
Right.
And on her way there, she's like prancing around in the hallway with the guy moving the block of ice, bumps into David Alpay, because we didn't even say it's Rachel Boston, one of our favorite actresses, bumps into David Alpay, also one of our favorite actors, and he flips his cell phone into the fountain and she grabs it. She runs to the kitchen with him in tow. They put it in a bag of rice and she goes off to the ice sculpting thing and he shows up for his lunch and he's like in love. He's just completely in love. Can't stop thinking about her. So she does the
Meanwhile, he's working on the Bradford.
His dad is the project. King of Wall Street. Yeah. He works for his dad with his best friend from Princeton. And he's like, we don't know this, but he's like not super excited about like the world of high finance. So she finishes her demonstration to the ladies of the club and he like makes a spectacle of himself.
Yeah.
During her class, he's like, oh, hey, Callie or whatever, blah, 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 blah. So he says to her, you're so good at that. You should enter the competition. She says, I'm just going to like lay low, new girl style. Yeah. I'm a dishwasher in the kitchen and I want this job to go well.
Yeah, because Chef Gloria always enters the competition.
And she's going to be in there with her sous chef, evil sous chef, Jan, right?
Jan. Yeah.
So
the evil Jan.
So without talking to her, he puts her name on the ice sculpting competition list. Right. And she gets to work the next day and everybody's giving her the stink eye. And she's like, what the heck? And the other dishwasher's like, why did you enter the contest? And she's like, oh my God, I did not. She goes into the men's locker room, gets David Alpay, brings him to Chef Gloria's office where Jan is also just standing there in a huff as usual. And she says, you got to get me out of this. This is like what happened. He did this. It wasn't my consent. She says, I'm sorry. I don't even want the appearance that I pushed you out of this competition.
Right.
I want to win fair and square. So you're in. And
because there would be talk in the ice sculpture community.
Well, even in the country club.
Yeah.
And it's the 25th anniversary, so there's a purse of $10,000. And she says, by the way.
Want people go, hey, there's a chef. push him out, Gloria.
That's right. I'm going to win fair and square. Yeah. I'm gonna bust you to the curb, Missy. And she says, you need a partner. So Callie says, okay, this idiot.
Yeah, this dude here
who
got me into this. He's going to be sculpting.
And so after 3 years of culinary school and all of her ice sculpting classes, she's going to teach David how to ice sculpt in just a few short weeks. Plus, they're going to join another competition to kind of like
warm up.
So she's going to teach him. I think she teaches him one that like it's not tempered well.
Right.
And then they are always trying the thing to do the dry ice fusion and it's never working. Like the carrot nose falls off the snowman and all that. Right. But they go to this competition and Callie is like just doing her own thing. And meanwhile, David is completely neglecting his work and his friend from Princeton is picking up all the slack.
Right.
And the dad is getting more and more peeved because he's like, I gave you this assignment and it's you're in charge of the Bradford Baldwin contract or whatever. Yeah. And he's like, oh, my God.
The Bradford project.
Yeah. So all he can think about is Callie and ice sculpting.
Right.
And then she gets really upset because Jan is so evil. She has some good interactions with Gloria. She shows some initiative and is like, oh, I see there's nobody on the prep table and they're falling behind. So she goes over and Jan will be like, those need to be Julienne. And she's got to like throw out all her work, like just really nasty.
Yes, she's
she's definitely a bad apple, that one.
Yeah.
So I'm going to cut to the chase of it's the day of the competition. Oh, no. Jan tells Callie, gets in her head about how like David and the Princeton friend are an item and they've been together forever. And come on, why would he even look at you? And she's the right.
Shut that off now.
I'm on notice, though. That's good. So she said, you know, you aren't the right class. You aren't the right person. You aren't the right anything. He's not interested in you. It's them. And then, of course, she sees the way they're interacting at the bar or something at the club. Frog tape, Peter's
tape. Frog tape performance. This is priced for the pro. This is driving me nuts. Go on.
She sees the way they're interacting at the bar.
Right.
And she starts to believe what she said. So she goes home to bake and mope.
Right.
So she basically mopes and doesn't talk to David. But then the next day is the competition because her dad has clued her in. Because David is very industrious.
Right.
Not only has he not been doing his job.
Right.
And he's only been thinking about ice sculpting. He's also been talking to the dad about an idea for a business, a soup kitchen type food pantry business called yeah. Anna's Angels, named after her mom, her dead mom. And he is helping Frank, the dad, figure out how he can run this as a business.
Right.
So then the dad says, look, David is not a bad guy. Look at what he's doing. He's going to make Anna's Angels happen. And she realizes, like, oh, I've been a jerk.
Yeah. So off to the competition. Their ice breaks.
Because Jan told the guy to put the block of ice back on the truck so it wasn't tempered properly.
Okay.
Sorry.
Sorry, the dogs. We got puppy noises happening.
I got a puppy.
So competition, their ice breaks. Then they go to the Chef Gloria goes to Jan. Well, that was strange. Did that ice come off the truck just like the rest of them? And she says, well,
it came off the truck.
It came off the truck. But who knows? You know, those drivers, they don't.
And the driver, they was so bad. The driver had stuck up for the ice.
Yeah, he said, no, it won't be tempered if I leave it back on the truck.
That's right. Instead, she says, you know, there's drivers, they don't listen. And then she said, Jan.
What did you do?
And she goes, you want to win, don't you?
And
now
goes,
you're going to win. She goes, I don't want to win like this.
And she says, you got a lot of talent, Jan. Too bad you didn't trust yourself. Hit the bricks, pal.
And the reason we know this so well is because we love the comeuppance.
Yes, comeuppance. My favorite part of Hallmark movies that have evil characters.
That's right.
If you gotta see comeuppance.
That's right. It's not enough to have the comeuppance even happen off stage.
Yeah.
It's better to see the comeuppance. So she goes off in a huff, throws her glove on the ground poof, in a fit of pique, as they say.
Chef Gloria then goes to Callie and says,
that was Jan's fault. I'm really sorry.
Yeah. So do you want to, I need a partner. You want to come and do my ice over here? And she goes, no, I already have a partner.
Oh.
He's right here. And he says, oh, but if you can win.
And she goes, I like my chances.
Oh, my God, our dogs. I think they want to go out.
Can't you let them out? Can't you let them out there? Do you want me to? I can get there.
You can get there?
Yeah.
We've got a lot of wires here.
I don't. Hold on, Mr. Pedro.
Ooh, that feels good.
We'll leave that open for a little minute. You'll have to.
We're almost done.
You'll have to edit this. Do you want me to close it?
Yes, yeah, so we can finish. Tony, no barking. We are almost done.
Okay. So she says, I like my chances.
We got rid of the dogs. Go on.
I like my chances. And then she has an idea for a new sculpture.
Right. She salvages the broken sculpture, and they map out a new one, and they get to work, and
they fuse wings to an angel's body,
right.
And it works this time, and they go off before they even know. Oh, but it's cool because the dad the two dads talk on a more even footing. It's not like I'm the member of the club and you're the manager and I'm always going to call you Frank and you're always going to call me Mr. Manning. He tells them to call him by his first name.
Right.
The Princeton friend, I'm sorry, I don't remember her name. She's very nice.
She gets promoted.
She gets promoted because she
did all the work on the Bradford Project. She did all the work.
And so he recognizes her talent and ambition, and this is what he wants. Mm-hmm. And then I'm pretty sure that this whole Anna's Angels thing will parlay him into like doing more like of a philanthropic kind of work. So still in finance and still helping people, but like not just Wall Street making money.
Yeah, charitable organizations and stuff like that.
And then there's a lot of kissing and there's a lot of hugging. And
we don't even know who wins.
That's right. They leave before he's like, don't you want to stick around? She's like, no, I'm good.
Yeah.
What's more important? I don't get it. They've been kissing the whole time.
I know, but she wants to make him know that winning doesn't matter. The important thing was they did it together.
That's right.
See, I put that moral on top.
That's a good one.
That's what she would have said.
That's what she would have said.
So
one of our favorite movies.
One of our favorites. Yep. I Sculpture Christmas.
Yep, we recommend it. So if you have a favorite Christmas movie and love barking dogs, you can, don't forget to send us an email at destroymail@gmail.com.
Yes.
And you can visit our website, the home of the Dam Junior Podcast Network. It's damshow.co, damshow.co, damshow.co.
Yeah.
And on that page is a link to Amazon.
Right.
And if you go to do your Amazon shopping, after you click that link, we get a little commission and it helps to offset the cost of hosting the podcast. So we'd appreciate it if you do that next time you're shopping on Amazon.
We'd also appreciate if you go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a rating and review.
That's right. Subscribe and review and rate.
No lower than 4, my friend. With them 4.
Please, don't go if you don't want to give us 4 or 5 stars. Otherwise, just skip that step.
Oh my God, these dogs.
All right. Well, they're telling us it's time to go.
Yep.
And thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next week.
See you next week.